जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय जय श्री गोपाल श्री गोपाल जय श्री गोपाल जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय गुरुदेव 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 नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य स्तोत्र श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा श्री गौर भक्त वृंद श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपिना श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की जय। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा मई की जय। यमुना मई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। सामवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरुवंशी गौरंग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरम चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जया मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टकी। वी रीडिंग टुडे फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम continuing canto 1 chapter 10 entitled Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka text number 26. So please repeat after me. Aho alam shlagyatamam yado कुलम अहो अलम पुण्यतमम मधोवनम यत एष पुंसाम ऋषभ श्रीय पति स्वजन्मना चंक्रमनेन अंचति। अहो अलम श्लाघ्यतमं यदो कुलम अहो अलम पुण्यतमं मधोर्वनम यदेश पुंसाम ऋषभ श्रियपति स्वजन्मना चंक्रमनेन चंचति। अहो अलम श्लाघ्यतमं यदो कुलम अहो अलम पुण्यतमं मधोर्वनम यदेश पुंसाम ऋषभ श्रियपति स्वजन्मना चंक्रमनेन चांचति। श्लाघ्यतमं यदो कुलम अहो अहो अलम पुण्यतमम मधोर्वनम यदेश पुंसाम ऋषभश्रियापति स्वजन्मना चंक्रतमनेन चंचति देश पुंसा ऋषभश्रियापते मनेन चांचति अहो अलम श्लाघ्यतमम उदमपुरम अहो अलम पुण्यतमम अधोरपतम यदेश पुंसाम ऋषभश्रियापति स्वजन्मना चंक्रत्मनेन चंचपति माताजी अहो ओ अलम वेरिली श्लाघ्यतमम सुप्रीमली ग्लोरिफाइड यद of King Yadu, Kulam, Dynasty, Aho, O, Alam, Verily, Punyatamam, Supremely Virtuous, Madhovanam, the land of Mathura, Yat, because, Esha, this, Pumsam, of all the living beings, Rishabha, Supreme Leader, Shriya of the Goddess of Fortune, Pati, Husband, Swajanmana, by his appearance, Chankramanena, by crawling, Cha Anchati, glories. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Oh, how supremely glorified is the dynasty of King Yadu and how virtuous is the land of Mathura, where the supreme leader of all living beings, the husband of the goddess of fortune, has taken his birth and wandered in his childhood. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita, the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna has expressively given a description of his transcendental appearance, disappearance and activities. The Lord appears in a particular family or place by His inconceivable potency. He does not take His birth as a conditioned soul, as a conditioned soul quits His body and accepts another body. His birth is like the appearance and disappearance of the sun. The sun arises on the eastern horizon, but that does not mean that the eastern horizon is the parent of the sun. The sun is existent in every part of the solar system, but he becomes visible at a scheduled time and so also becomes invisible at another scheduled time. Similarly, the Lord appears in this universe like the sun and again leaves our sight at another time. He exists at all times and at every place, but by His causeless mercy, when He appears before us, we take it for granted that He has taken His birth. Anyone who can understand this truth in terms of the statements of revealed scriptures certainly becomes liberated just after quitting the present body. Liberation is obtainable after many births and after great endeavor in patience and perseverance in knowledge and renunciation. But simply by knowing in truth about the Lord's transcendental births and activities, one can get liberation at once. That is the verdict of the Bhagavad Gita. But those who are in the darkness of ignorance conclude that the Lord's births and activities in the material world are similar to those of the ordinary living being. Such imperfect conclusions cannot give anyone liberation. His birth, therefore, in the family of King Yadu as the son of King Vasudev and his transfer into the family of Nanda Maharaj in the land of Mathura are all transcendental arrangements made by the internal potency of the Lord. The fortunes of the Yadu dynasty and that of the inhabitants of the land of Mathura cannot be materially estimated. If simply by knowing that the transcendental nature of the births and activities of the Lord, one can get liberation easily, we can just imagine what is in store for those who actually enjoy the company of the Lord in person, as a family member or as a neighbor. All those who are fortunate enough to associate with the Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, certainly obtain something more than what is known as liberation. Therefore, rightly, the dynasty and the land are both ever glorious by the grace of the Lord. Om Agyan Simirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshapari Daishi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we hear some very, in one sense, basic but fundamental truths on which our spiritual life really depends. I mean, when I was reading this verse and the purport, so since I had to read more than one or two times, then it struck me that this is something which we had heard perhaps first time, second time, maybe 10 times, 20 times. But how fundamental it is that we that to understand the appearance and disappearance and the activities of the Lord and His pastimes, you know, it is not so easy. Mentally we can accept it because, you know, we conform to the revealed scriptures, we conform to Guru, we have developed a deep respect for other Vaishnavas who are leading us, and the Prabhupada disciples, Prabhupada himself, and we also get commentaries from so many other scriptures which Prabhupada has brought in the purports. So this gives us we don't have to doubt that. But when Prabhupada talks about revelation and how it to really understand the appearance, disappearance, which is divyam, that really, you know, if we understand it with the perfect knowledge of the absolute truth, then he says we can immediately enter into the spiritual kingdom. That's so. I want to say that, well, I understood it. So, where's my ticket to go to the spiritual kingdom? But it is not really understanding. Would mean that moment to moment, in every situation in our life, we are so firmly convinced that what is Krishna's position, the eternality of his position, his appearance, you know, only by His grace can we we have a desire, and we have Krishna's grace, we meet our spiritual guru, and then by His mercy we can come to Krishna, and only by that we can progress. So this loop, you know, is something which doesn't come. We have to actually realize it, because the realization would mean that when we confront our challenges, when the inevitable difficulties that are going to come in everyone's lives, which are many are self-inflicted, many may be external, outside our control, do we immediately, spontaneously, and you know, very convincingly feel that in the same mood that we otherwise, in a normal setting, in a very peaceful atmosphere in the temple, we would feel that? So, because otherwise our thinking, which leads into our actions, could be different because of our conditioning. So why it is difficult is because, our senses, which are originally spiritual, then they have a material covering because we have come into this world. And this whole process, so Krishna, when Prabhupada is repeating this often, he was basically saying that Krishna consciousness is a process of purifying the senses. So because the senses are materially contaminated, that means our senses are astray, they are not channelized into Krishna's service. And because they are astray, we seek temporary pleasures wherever we get it, and that's how we let the mind run wild. So, Prabhupada said that simply by service attitude, we can start the process of purification. And the service attitude is not just that we serve one time, it's not a matter of physical activity at one time. It is actually a consciousness which then is in every aspect of our life. So even if we're in an occupation, which may be far removed from a temple, but nevertheless, this attitude would reveal that there are different levels. So at one level, the immediate level, we have to, just like Pandavas were on the battlefield. So that time the immediate consciousness was that they had to win the war. So all focus was, all attention was, speaking the right mantras, trying to defeat the opponent, kill the opponent, or protect themselves. So that focus was there. But overriding all of it is the larger aspect, which is on a higher level, which will always be subconsciously there, which means that ultimately they're doing it for serving the Lord or the Lord's devotees, directly or indirectly. So that is what we mean by service attitude, where that should govern our entire being. And then within that, whatever we do is always at a lower level. The larger covering has to be this consciousness. So that's what we would need to progress to. And the process that Prabhupada said is by taking shelter of a spiritual master, taking shelter of the scriptures, taking shelter of the holy name. The whole process is primarily to purify our senses and gradually, but what happens after that? Again, it is not a formula. As we discussed it before also, by doing this and by following the process in a sincere and obedient way, trying our best within the circumstances, whatever was given to us, we actually invoke the mercy of the Lord and Guru. And only by that, so it is not like someone is chanting 48 rounds a day for 20 years. Means he is three times more likely than somebody who is chanting 16 rounds. It doesn't work that way. Somebody may be struggling to chant 16 rounds in his circumstances. Maybe he's physically ailment and his environment is more difficult. But the sincerity of his, in every aspect of him trying to glorify the Lord or to follow the process is, so if that pleases the spiritual master, if that pleases the, and through that, Radharani and Krishna are pleased and they, so if we, only if we invoke the mercy, then we are kind of pulled up. It's like in school, you may study, of course there is a process, so you score marks and then you progress to the next class. But just imagine a spiritual school, it's not a matter of marks. It is like the principal decide, okay, he has those sets are a different set. It is not automatic. It's a matter of behavior. It's a matter of consciousness. So consciousness is everything because how we think we will act and how we act, we will behave accordingly. So there is a mention, a beautiful example Prabhupada has given, talking about the birth of the Lord. When he says birth means actually there is no birth because there is not only for the Lord, but also for all living beings. We are also eternal. So there is, when we talk of the example of the sun, like how the sun, we say the sun rises and sunset, there is no question of rise and set. It's not that it is risen from something and setting into something. It means that it is always there. It's just that from our vision, it is temporarily not there and then it comes at a different time. So it is always there at any time. It's just that we may be seeing it in a temporary way at a particular time. So the same way for us also, the same example that our appearance and disappearance, it is actually related to, so the soul is eternal, but this appearance is talking about our body, because depending on our karma, our soul will take different bodies and therefore We will be appearing and then going and then coming again. So the difference between the Lord and the living beings is that the Lord is always in a spiritual body at all times. That is why He can remember past, present and future. While we are in a in changing bodies, therefore we don't have any memories of past, what has happened in the past, and we don't know what is going to happen in the future. So so spiritual attitude means that to develop the spiritual attitude means that when we are approaching a subject, like when we are approaching our own Krishna conscious scorecard, let's say, and we say that we have to follow certain process, sadhana bhakti, and we diligently follow. But most important is that we cannot approach it with a challenging mind. It doesn't mean that we don't get an answer's question, but the mood is not to be challenging. The mood is something which is that we don't know, and we are there to understand, hear, listen, and if you're not convinced, we ask again, but in a proper, dignified, submissive way. This is a very important point because it's again related to our behavior. So this consciousness has to accept this, that the service attitude means being in a humble position to know. And it's not just that, okay, like you enter school, you appear for an interview, and then you are asked questions, and then therefore you humbly ask questions, and then you satisfy them, and then that's finished. No. Here, at all times we are learning. There's nothing like that you pass a board exam and you are, then everything, you don't have to appear it. No. This is life is a learning experience, but in the spiritual life also we are always learning. And in fact, we have to be even more vigilant if we are blessed with or if we are fortunate with having an opportunity of coming in contact with the spiritual environment. So instead of being complacent, we'll be more vigilant because Krishna's other energy, the inferior energy, Maya, is also Krishna's way of testing us. So this test is something, He'll give us tests unexpectedly. There's no pre-informed test like in school. This will be any time, any test. So actually any challenge that comes, we see someone as an enemy, we see someone who's opposing us. But the situation is created by Krishna purely to see how we are putting into practice whatever we have learned. So when we talk of invoking the mercy, we talk of Krishna reveals Himself. So the definition of revelation means that something which was not there, it was unknown or it was hidden, and then is revealed. So same way it is this knowledge, this understanding, is when you talk of realizations, this knowledge, it may be there, it may also be learnt mentally, but to only by following the process in an extremely submissive but also a very sincere way. And sincere means that ready to admit our mistakes, ready to correct ourselves, being as transparent as we can. If we follow that process, then by invoking the mercy, Krishna will reveal through the spiritual master. And then, therefore, the service to Vaishnavas and the Guru becomes very paramount for us. And again, if you go back to what Prabhupada would say related to this, that because we have to purify our consciousness, he would always say this. If you see so many of his lectures, he talks about, I'm not this body. That statement is there practically in every lecture you hear. I'm not this body. I'm not, because he said, we have to be free from all designations. Because the identification of the body means that we are constantly thinking in one way or the other. It may be either that, okay, I'm male, I'm rich, I'm educated or not educated, I'm poor, I'm Kshatriya, I'm Brahmin, I'm Indian, I'm American. These are designations that we identify because it is at one level when we are dealing in our work, like how the Pandavas, they were Kshatriyas, so that came to the fore when they had to protect Dharma and they fought on the war. But that never at any moment was, means that never submerged the real identity that they were always servants of Krishna. In spite of Krishna being so proximate to them and so close to them and Krishna being actually their relative, so close relative. They never forgot that. So that's how the key for us is that we have different levels of activities and different understandings. The highest understanding has to be that there is no designation other than that we are the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Das, 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 anudas. And that other designations are not only temporary, but they are only incidental. It is true that we are born in India, so we are Indian. It is true that we are born in a certain family. It is true that we speak a certain language. It is true that we are either male or female. You know, those are, it's a factual situation. But to live our life according to that and to not be conscious that our activities are very much governed by this, our reactions are very much governed by our designations and one way or the other, even as devotees, if we feel that now I am something special, because I have, I've been given this, service and I'm now into a very exalted group of devotees and, ISKCON is so special and Prabhupada is, of course, a pure devotee of the Lord and I'm just one generation away from Prabhupada. And, you know, if we start thinking like that, then we're also designating ourselves as something superior. So we then do not see Krishna because we will not see Krishna as the father of all, that he is the father of all living entities, that is, whether it's the grass or the animals, they are all serving Krishna in their own way. It is in Vrindavan, that's what we hear, how they are in Shantaras or they are in Dasyaras. So they are, we see all living beings as Krishna's energy, Krishna's creation, and that's the key to our activities, that we act on that level, that we we should as much as possible try to remember, and our goal would be that we are always spontaneous in thinking only on the level of that we are the servant of the servant, and that we are not acting only on a designation which then kind of consumes our thinking. So, if you go to see today's, so many problems are really related to that. Practically all of them. Either it is on basis of religion, that my religion is better than yours, or, you know, the blacks may, the black bodied people may think that they are being subjugated, you know, there's a racism. And it is a fact that, you know, India, for instance, for hundreds of years, you know, the British, they had this, they really, acted, and so much of history is coming out that they actually acted on the basis that thought that we have to teach the backward people, you know, the so-called backward people in India when they invaded. So this has pervaded in so many ways, you know, Alexander, so many people who make conquests. So whether it's political or whether in our present activities, in our business or occupation, there will always be, as Kali Yuga progresses, you will find that there are more subtle ways of doing it, sophisticated ways, quote-unquote sophisticated ways. So therefore, it may not be so obvious and so crude as it was, say, 60 years ago. Racism may be very crude, and 60 years ago, it was very clear that, okay, you cannot even enter this bus, you cannot go to this bathroom. It was there in South Africa, it was there in America. Even in India, we had different castes, you can't come here, can't come. So, you know, it's easy to say this is wrong, this is wrong. Of course, it is not, it is acting improperly. But today, you may say that that is not there, but there are so many subtle ways of, and it happens all the time. It is maybe on the basis of color, maybe basis of our background, basis of our gender, basis of our education. People who are not educated are considered, you know, very, and what is education? They're talking of only an academic, narrow aspect of certain understanding material energy, how material energy works. But that is only one aspect of what the, so they define what is an education, and then if you are not on that level, then you are considered backward, in spite of people who are living a much greater life, much better understanding, simpler life, more Krishna conscious life, but that would not be accepted. So therefore, these problems today are there. If we recognize that, then it becomes easier for us to know that, okay, that's a problem. I'm part of the problem because I can't change many things. But wherever we have a control, wherever we have some, we can influence ourselves or others, we should be acting on that level. This is our homework on a day-to-day basis. When we leave the temple, when we go back home, the messages that we take, the association we have, we go on yatras, we energize ourselves, but the message that we take is that how do we go back and live in a way that we are das, das, anudas, and that's what Prabhupada did. When Prabhupada went from Radha Damodar temple, then he could have stayed for the rest of his life and he would have been glorious and considered a pure devotee, etc. But he chose to follow his guru's order and went to the west at an old age. But what was his purpose? He carried Vrindavan with him. He was in Los Angeles and then by Krishna's grace also Prabhupada became enormously successful even in his pursuit. And he had so many temples, and when his Los Angeles became the headquarters for the west, and he had such nice quarters, but he was always missing Vrindavan. Because his heart was, for him, externally it didn't matter where he was. They gave him in some places he was traveling in a Rolls Royce. In some places, you could see the Vyasasan was, probably five times his size. You could see him, he's sitting, he was so thin and small and the size. But he took it as whatever they gave. I mean, it was always seen that was the love of his devotees. The first Vyasasan that was made by Brahmanand Prabhu was, he found a sofa which was thrown away. Because in the US, in the West, there is a concept. See, here, we don't throw. There, what do? They just keep it outside their doors, and then a lot of people will then pick it up and then use it as second hand and they'll buy it. And then, especially if you've gone for 5 years, then why would we want to invest something? So you just go all around the street and you have lots of things, just pick it up. So he just took that and then converted into Vyasas. And Prabhupada said, he saw the love, he saw the consciousness of the person. The devotee was trying to serve. So that is what he himself revealed by his own actions. So also when Bhaktisiddhanta Swami, who was black-bodied, initially when he was Ghanshyam Das, he went to Prabhupada and he felt that, Prabhupada, there is racism in your temple. So then Prabhupada, this is his own story when he tells this in the memories of Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada made one statement which completely changed his whole outlook. Because Prabhupada said that if you are also seeing it, then what is the difference between you and them? If you are seeing it that way. So he understood that my consciousness is in my control. Others may do whatever. Prabhupada never saw him that way. But Prabhupada could see, when you come to the movement, you come with all our baggage. And our background with our consciousness. And it may remain forever, and that is to our detriment. It is our effort to see if we can try to eliminate some of that baggage, if we can, we should. But if it remains, that is, we are all individuals, ultimately, who all are answerable to Krishna. So Bhakti Tirthmanas could see. So therefore, Prabhupada, wherever he went, his message was, what we see, his scriptures, the translations, the books, but also his conversations, one-to-one, his lectures, his interactions with so many people, outsiders, that is what reveals that he ultimately always saw himself as a servant of the servant. People misunderstood him at times, they criticized him, but he didn't bother. I think that beautiful story about when, because wherever he went, the devotees wanted to do the best for him. Like say, when there were festivals like the Cross Maidan festival or the similar one in Kolkata, they did, where 10,000 people are coming every day. A huge Vyasasan because people could see, and then it was given a grand reception for him. So that was on one side. And then similarly in universities when he used to go in the West, there it is not like our universities. Maybe some of them are now becoming like that, where we don't mention names on the Bhagavatam, but so where they are, they don't believe in God and they are actually very challenging. So they would challenge very much and tell Prabhupada that why are you sitting up there? That is the way you talk. And Prabhupada would just very humbly take a position. Once he was asked that, he was talking about different classes of men, so as per the scriptures, the first class men, second class men, third class men, in terms of our behavior and consciousness. So somebody just shouted out, just sitting there only said, so what class are you? So Prabhupada said, I am fifth class. Very humbly, you know, softly. You know, so his consciousness was always that he is there as a servant. So we don't get carried away by, we shouldn't, of course, at one level we see him as the Jagat Guru, which he is. We also see the potency that Krishna gave him, you know, what he has done will be sung for hundreds of years, how many millions of people's lives have been touched and changed. That is one side. But when we really see deeper and see that how he was living and what are the messages that come through and what can we learn, irrespective of where we are, who we are, which gender we are, what education we are, if we take that message, the message of when they talk of United Nations and bringing countries together. So Prabhupada said, I have a message, I have a formula for you, you know, I can tell you how to, you know, just follow. And actually you see, ISKCON is, this whole basis is actually real equality. How many states are represented here, how many countries are represented in this room, nobody counts. Which backgrounds you come, nobody, there's no consequence. So because we are having a purpose to see what our spiritual needs are and what we can do. So everyone turns to the spiritual needs, automatically the bodily resignations would go. So Prabhupada's real message, if we see, has also been by the subtle messages which were just by his behavior, his actions, were constantly repeating what he was preaching, that we are servant of the servant of the servant, no designations, and that we should be tolerant, we should be humble, you know, and he showed it because we went to so many countries. We hear all the glorious stories, but there are also so many stories where, you know, it was very combative, very aggressive. People were, you know, offensive on the streets to his devotees, sometimes to him. He never bothered. There were a couple of times and when he actually flew into a country and they refused to let him in. Then he had to go back again after flying several hours. So Prabhupada was never disturbed because he was always on a transcendental position. So that's what we can take away. So when we talk of ignorance, then Prabhupada was one story in his where his chief scientist devotee, you know, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who was that time Dr. Thudam Singh. So he was a very brilliant student also, and he was one of the first from the scientific academic world to become Prabhupada's disciple. So Prabhupada told that you should be engaging yourself, talking to these devotees, to the outside world. And, you know, especially because Prabhupada knew that the scientific world was becoming more and more atheistic. A lot of scientists, not all, but a lot of our scientists who especially have a lot of influence, are creating theories based only on body. So that time was Dr. Singh, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj. So at one conference where two, three devotees were there and he was there. And mostly it was a science-based. So one of the Nobel Prize winners, he was saying that, you know, life comes from chemicals. That was a theme that they used to say that it is, you know, we can. So he actually got up in true ISKCON style and true Prabhupada disciple style. He had no money. Very politely, but he raised his hand and he said, sir, you are saying that life comes from chemicals. So if I give you these chemicals, and he mentioned them, if I give you these chemicals, can you create life? You know, in public, he asked him. Very politely, but of course the message was telling. And the answer that Nobel Prize winner said, that is something which, I can't say. So, you know, Prabhupada quote this very many times. They say, look at the bogusness. You know, they talk about like this, but when they're told, you create it. Now, why do you have a theory which is not proven? If you say that it is coming from them, try and create life from that. So, that is a kind of ignorance that may be there, but it is covered by such a powerful aura of invincibility and strong material knowledge that we are so impressed by it that we take spiritual knowledge as very distant and we minimalize it. So as contrast to this ignorance and or the challenges that Prabhupada had, He carried Vrindavan, and as we hear the description, also hear about Krishna's appearance, disappearance, and Prabhupada talks about anyone understanding the activities can immediately and actually takes it on the absolute truth, can actually go back to, at once go back to the Lord. So, the importance of Mathura Mandal, Rupa Goswami himself, it's one of the points that we say about why when we talk of Vrindavan, we hear the glories of Vrindavan, but hearing from Rupa Goswami, he says that I remember the Lord standing by the banks of the Yamuna River, so beautiful amid the Kadamba trees, where many birds are chirping in the gardens, and these impressions are always giving the transcendental realization of beauty and bliss. So these statements are actually based on realized descriptions of Mathura and Vrindavan. You know, we accept Rupa Goswami as the chief implementer of, and the six Goswamis were the key to really spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is Krishna's own message. That means these are all spiritual beings who had come only for this purpose. And if we understand from that as an example, we see the potency that Vrindavan has. So some people may think it's overestimated, but actually it is not the case, because people, even in our parampara, so many people got immediately transformed. Say, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, for instance, when he was so attracted to the bodily beauty of one prostitute, and then when he was given this knowledge, this realization or the understanding of Krishna, he immediately went to Mathura Vrindavan and then became a saint. So, the opulence of Vrindavan forest can be very bewildering also, because, say, Krishna talks, on one hand we see Dwarka and we see his palatial accommodations and the palaces, the whole cities were created. And then we see the same Krishna is sleeping on twigs and soft buds on the grass, playing with his devotees. So Prabhupada said that the way we see this is because Krishna submerges himself to the love of his, subordinates himself to the love of his devotees. So this again tells us that ultimately Krishna, when he's, and then he, so if we were try to emulate or try to follow in the footsteps in our own limited way, trying to please the Lord, then this is proof to say that Krishna will definitely be, you know, will his mercy will be upon us through the Guru, and we can then make spiritual progress. Otherwise, we do not have any chance. And when we talk of the, so Vrindavan that the Prabhupada created was really, he carried with him all over the world, because he was always singing the glories of Krishna. So when we talk of singing the glories, that means we, it is not that when we are in Mumbai city, we cannot realize Vrindavan. Vrindavan is definitely a place, but Vrindavan is also a consciousness. Vrindavan is really where Krishna is, and if we were to live a Krishna conscious lifestyle, or then that propagation of Krishna's life would also be a creation of Vrindavan. And that can be done in many ways. Of course, we know that Nama Jap is one of the, is the most important. It can be done individually, it can be done by, in Sankirtan. It can also be that the kind of, if you are, we are also speaking, like any individually or in lectures, singing the glories, you know, or singing about the pastimes, talking about the pastimes, talking about his leelas, about his activities, about his roop. All of this is also glories of Krishna. It is also that, you know, if our consciousness is where we are actually working, whatever we are doing, we may be making money, or we may be making, we may be working as a professor, whatever business is. But if the, and this is a very important aspect, that if our intention is to, the real intention is to see how best we can in various ways, we're always thinking how we can help, how we can support, how we can gratefully acknowledge and try to reciprocate and try to serve Krishna, Krishna's devotees, then that is also kirtan. So these are things which we can do even here. And of course, by living an example like that, living an example being an example itself can be, if you really try to be an excellent example of leading a quiet life, even if you're not speaking anything, that itself can be is a propagation of the glories of Krishna, and therefore that is also kirtan. And that's a very nice story which Gaur Gopal Prabhu had spoken many years ago. That once he heard this from another devotee. So this was regarding a Kaf Parade Rath Yatra. And this Rath Yatra was in, so this was probably 2014 or something around there. And when they were preparing for it, they were short of funds. So they approached the organizers, you know, the committee, they approached one of the key donors at the Kaf Parade. I don't know, maybe some of you may be related to that incident because it's not so far off. But so they approached him and they asked that, you know, if you can help. There was a gap of about, I think, 1 lakh rupees. So he had already given his entire, whatever he could. But he said, I'll approach my friends. So he approached one of his rich friends. So that rich friend said that, you know, something, you came a little late because if you had come, because last week only I have given away enough. And whatever my quota was, I had given something like 4 lakhs I have given to various projects. But still, because you are my friend and you have come, so I am giving you 25,000. So he gave 25,000 and then somehow they managed to collect the rest and the Rath Yatra began. And now, during the Rath Yatra, devotees were blissfully, you know, singing. It's the whole procession was going on a Sunday afternoon. In the bylanes of Kaf Parade. And as it happens sometimes, you know, transcendental means sometimes we're also neglectful because we're not, we can talk about that for hours, how we may be inconsiderate of others also sometimes. But anyway, this as it happened, there was a neglect and the Ratha kind of veered off a little bit. And one of the Mercedes was parked on the side. So this Rath went and banged in the Mercedes and there was a big dent. So, but there were so many hundreds of devotees, so nobody saw. So, I mean, nobody noticed in that sense. Nobody would have seen. And then the Rath carried on. Now, some 5-6 days later, after the Rath Yatra got over, this, the person who had given 25,000 rupees, you know, who was approached by a devotee friend, so this rich donor, so he actually phoned phoned the devotee who approached him, and this devotee had spoken to Gaur Gopal Prabhu. So this devotee now is relating that this the rich donor who gave 25,000, he phoned and he said, you know what happened 5 days ago? My Mercedes was parked on that road. And this donor, this devotee who heard, you know, his heart sank. He said, my God, you know, I mean, Jagannathji also, if he had to find, why did he have to find it? That car only? Why did he have to bang? He expected. But, you know, this rich donor said, you know, I'm so impressed with your devotees. I'm really impressed. And from now on, every year, please come to me. So he was completely puzzled. He said, your Mercedes was there. And he said, there was a big dent. Somebody knocked it. And there's a... But what happened was that when he came down, he saw that there was a note on the wiper. You know, somebody had stuck a note. So he said that he was so impressed that some devotee took the trouble of getting a piece of paper and wrote down, respected sir, this is our annual Rath Yatra. We are very sorry that by mistake our Rath, you know, veered off bit and banged into your car. And there's a dent. We are responsible for it. We will definitely pay for it. It is at our cost. This is my number. So please do contact me. But he didn't put his name. So in fact, Gaur Gopal Prabhu said he doesn't know. I mean, so we don't know the name, who it was. There must be some devotee. But this person had such an impact. He says, okay, galti hui, but otherwise if he had not mentioned, they wouldn't have known. Maybe he would have suspected, maybe the Rath Yatra, or maybe somebody was, you know, sometimes somebody is very angry at another kind, just dents it, whatever. I mean, he would have been speculating all the time. Somebody honestly owns up and says, I will do it. So now, he said that, no, from now on, please do approach me every year for your Rath Yatra. So the point is that singing the glories of Krishna can be in many ways. You know, there will be provocative situations, there will be very many challenges. So actually, just by how we conduct ourselves and seeing that, you know, in an honest, transparent way, which would be befitting our own guru, can be one of the best ways of glorifying Krishna. And this, that's why Prabhupada in Krishna book he says, and we hear this so often, that he describes the greatness of a devotee is one who tolerates provoking situations. So these provocations are something which are also meant for us to live up to it. And it's very difficult. I mean, I'm seeing from personal example, it is so difficult and we slip up many times because our spontaneous reaction when we are provoked, you know, it just comes out spontaneously. And that spontaneous reaction is based on our immediate conditioning. So we have to work on that and see that our consciousness is so ingrained in our life that our immediate reactions would also be Krishna conscious. So that's then in that way we can create a mood of Vrindavan wherever we are, and we would combine it in our practical life by following our sadhana bhakti. So we'll stop here. And Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.